It is time of the broadcast weekend to tune in the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. Welcome to Heartline. Your host every week on Heartline is this guy right here holding the microphone. It's Jim Tuck.
Good morning. Yeah, well, I turned the mic on as I started to say something. Jerry says, oh, I do want to mention. So I'm not sure it's morning where you are. But at any rate, nice to have you with us as we inaugurate this edition of Heartline here from Evangel Home of Fresno. Jerry Brenneman is here. We are in her office, and we have a guest today. Her name is Tony, and we're going to hear Tony's story. Jerry, what's on your mind? It seemed like you wanted to mention something. Okay, toward the end. I'll give you a minute or so at the end of the program to recap whatever it is. Well, we have a privilege of being here to share what God is doing in the lives of women whose lives are in crisis. They come here to Evangel Home because not because they're at the struggling to hit the glass ceiling in the top of corporate America. It's upside down. It's beyond difficult, in many cases tragic. But God's alive, and he's well, and he is at work, and we want to hear Tony's story. Introduce Tony to us.
You know, Jim, using that whole glass ceiling analogy, which is something I'm not even sure many of our women have heard, and, you know, that whole thing about women can only go so far in corporations and then they hit a glass ceiling. I think a lot of our women are on a glass floor that is broken, that is splintered, that is full of shards. That picture is probably more accurate for most of our gals than ever coming close to a glass ceiling. So thank you for that. That's a painful place to be. Imagine living your life on not a dirt floor, but a broken glass floor. And just imagine what that does for your footsteps, how you walk, how you carry things, how you lead your children. Wow.
Yeah.
That captured my mind, obviously. Anyway, I think that's where Tony has been. More than close to a glass ceiling, she has found herself on a broken glass floor and ended up at Evangel Home about a month and a half ago, maybe. You know, our stay in the crisis home is 28 days. Well, she's been here at least 40 days. How does that happen? That happens when we think a woman is showing great potential, but she's not quite ready to make any change yet, so we'll extend them, you know, for a week or so. And they often say, well, I almost have a job, or I'm doing this. And as long as we can see that they're making progress, we'll give them more time. During that whole time, Tony started talking about Crossroads, and we just wanted to make sure the time was right before she really applied. So that's where she is now. She's in the crisis home. She's applied for our Crossroads transitional apartments. And that's where we are today, huh, Tony?
Okay. For those of you who may not be familiar with what we do here at Evangel Home, Crossroads is a 9-month-long life skills training program where the women have to apply for it, and it's pretty rigorous entrance requirements. Those who are accepted move into the apartment building next door, live basically on their own. But there's some structure and some expectations of them. So, Tony, we want to hear your story. I'm going to ask you to move up here just a little bit closer. You've been here for 6 weeks or so. What brought you to Evangel Home? What was going on in your life?
Being in an environment that was not very positive for my children. I had gotten to a point in my life to where I had enough of having fingers pointed, being blamed for things that just weren't right, and having too much negativity. I have two small children in the home, and so finally I just took that step and left it in the hands of God and told him to lead me. And here I am, the Evangel Home.
Now, in your background, I'd say, you know, 95% of the time there's some kind of substance abuse. Is that part of your history?
Yes.
Tell me about that a little bit.
It hasn't been a long, extensive substance abuse issue, but it was for about 3.5 years. And finally, it was just part of my boyfriend's lifestyle, so I let it overcome me. And finally just got tired of it and just said, you know, enough's enough, and I need to be back into my life, who I am. And I was raised in a Christian home, and I just stepped away.
What was the process? Well, how did you come to be in a circle of relationships that led to one that was so self-destructive?
You know, I have no idea. To this day, I still haven't figured that out. But I do know that once I left it in God's hands, He guided me. I prayed at the beginning.
And how does that look? You started to say, because we hear that, I left it in God's hands, I'm going to let God take care of it. What does that mean? Maybe someone's listening and wants to do that same thing. Does that mean they just say, the heck with it?
And it's not that. It's just I learned that I will fight for what I believe in, but when enough's enough and I can't do any more on my part, it's like, okay, I need rest. I need to focus on me and my children, and I leave what needs to be done on his part, my boyfriend's part, I leave it in God's hands. Now it's your turn to take the step because I'm tired. I need to focus on me and my children. That's what's important.
So then you're praying or hoping that God is dealing with your boyfriend. And I think, Tony, one reason I stepped in there is I hear people who use God as a Cupid doll.
Right.
And when life is fine, they don't want anything to do with him. They don't go to church. They don't practice anything. They don't necessarily follow any of his rules. When things aren't fine, then they run to God. And it's like, okay, God, I got it. And then you go right back and do the same thing you were doing again.
I was raised in a Christian home, and I followed certain things, but like, you know, people step back and they realize that, you know, the sins that have committed or in, and that's one thing that 3.5 years I let myself fall away from what I was raised in for my whole. And it's just now that I'm away from the negativity and I'm more open for it now, I'm back into the religion and the spiritual being that I was before I let him bring me down.
That's not uncommon that the him with a capital H gets replaced by him with the little h, and off we go.
Yeah, you know, that's the human condition. We all have a tendency to do that, to step away from the intimacy of that relationship with our king, and then the next thing you know, we've gotten life all out of control. You know, with everybody, the Bible speaks to it pretty directly in the book of Judges especially. They were all doing, each one was doing what was right in his own eyes. And it's just disaster. It's just indescribable almost, the crazy things that happen as a result of that, moving away from that focused relationship on the majesty. How did you come to hear about Evangelum? How did you wind up here?
It was a quick decision to come here. I was put in a previous program, and when I had to leave from that program, they called the Evangel Home, and they had one bed available. So it was either take it or go back to where I had just left, and I was not going to go back into that environment. So I took that step. I had a good feeling about it, and I came here, and I've been here since March 17th.
Tony was not asked to leave another program. She was not dismissed from another program. Her time and money was up at another program, and that's another reason Evangel Home doesn't like to charge, because it's like, okay, your 20 days are up, 28 days are up, goodbye, we're out of money.
Yeah, the client's money or guest money, and also government money that says you can come and stay for X number of days, then you're out. That's why Evangel Home doesn't take any government funding, just private donations. That way, when a special case like Tony comes along, adjustments can be made without having to answer to anybody else. So it's a good thing for you, isn't it? So you arrived at Evangel Home, you walked in, you looked around, and you thought,
I'm home.
We hear that a lot, don't we?
That's one of those special times. I love to look ahead, Jim, and think of, okay, if Tony goes next door and then graduates, what am I going to say at her graduation? And one of the things I always say is the people who graduate, I have a first memory of. The people who don't make it just sort of maybe go on, and hopefully I remember their name someday. I remember Tony's intake interview, and I remember when I went in there for some reason, and she has an adorable little guy with her. And I got his name, and I said his name, and I remember she said, no one ever says his name. And I think that's just in my mind. So, Tony, I can't wait someday. When you graduate, I get to tell that story.
Yeah, I walked in and thought, I'm home. Yeah. Relationships have been good here with the other women and the staff?
Oh, yes. It's very, very, how would you say, heartwarming to know that I'm not the only one. I'm, you know, not on the same level as some people, but I have, you know, made a lot of friends and just feel that, you know, I'm me. I'm me.
And Antonia's here, I think, at a pretty good time, because I'm thinking of the women in the home right now. Most of them are sincere and trying to do the right thing. They're not game players looking for ways to get to sell drugs to the rest of the women. You know, and that happens. We're always going to have that dynamic. But right now we've got a pretty sincerely motivated house. In fact, somebody showed up at the door yesterday who'd been here before and wanted to come back. And, you know, we tell women they have to be clean for at least 2 weeks. And we know that, you know, sometimes for them that's 2 days.
Right.
This woman had just taken drugs and had just told us that she had sold something to get money and bought $20 worth of drugs. And it's kind of like, that's then the kind of person that we can look at and feel bad for her that she's not getting help. But we are not going to bring her in here until she gets in a program.
Right.
Because you've got people like Tony that are sincerely walking away from that and would not use their last $20 now on drugs.
Yeah. You can't risk rupturing the dynamic here and destroying the lives of other women who maybe that might be a temptation for them. Well, Tony, yeah, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in and sharing your story with us today. When we turn on the microphone, we wonder who God's going to bring to the airwaves, and our supporters and people who are interested in what's going on here are certainly part of that dynamic. But also we're curious to know if maybe somebody who's out there that God just directed to the airwaves, that they are where you were, and we trust their story will be a message of hope for them. Jerry, we're down about 30 seconds, so we didn't even save a full minute. What's on your mind?
What was on my mind was I wanted to tell people that when their name appears in our newsletter as giving in honor or a memory of someone, of course, we never put amounts or addresses, but we do put our newsletter as a link on our website. So if anybody would be adverse to that, please let me know. I will from now on put that in our newsletter just so people know that if you Google your name, chances are you're going to come up more than one time in our newsletter, but that is an option, and I need to give it to people. I have been remiss in that.
Okay, there you have it. Pray for us, friends. We're out of time. Ken, take it away. Thanks for joining us today on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
Well, Jerry mentioned the website. That web address for the Evangel Home, by the way, is evangelhome.org. Pretty simple to remember. And the phone number in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thank you so much for tuning in this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, blessing women and children in crisis since the mid-1950s.